Welcome to day 182. We are up to Perek Gimel, Mishnah Beis. Now, today's Mishnah is really a continuation of the end of yesterday's Mishnah, so I really encourage you to go back and listen to yesterday's recording, either if you haven't already, or even if you have and you want a refresher, you should listen to that recording. And it's also why I thought it was important to create that chart, because it's really going to help us understand today's as well. For the purpose of our recording, I'm not going to go back into the details that we saw yesterday, but I will give the general framework. So we saw a case in which someone separated Truma, but we're not sure if it worked or not, if the separation of Truma actually worked. So because Truma is a mitzvah midaraisa, it's a biblical law, we have to be strict. So just in case it did work, we have to treat that which you separated as Truma, as if it really worked. But just in case it didn't work, you have to separate Truma again. So you have to be strict in either direction. You treat that which you separated as Truma, just in case, and you separate Truma again, just in case the first one didn't work. But we also saw that because each one might not be Truma, right? If the first one worked, then you didn't need the second one, so the second one's not Truma. And if the first one didn't work, then the first one's not Truma. So since each one might not be Truma, we're allowed to be lenient by all rabbinic laws. That's a suffix derabanan lakula. When it comes to a doubt by rabbinic laws, we can be lenient. And therefore, any halachos that apply to Truma that are only rabbinic, we'd be able to be lenient by both of those separations because there's a possibility that each one is not Truma. So what's in a prime example of that? So the example is Meduma. Meduma is the halacha of a mixture when it comes to Truma. We saw this, that from the Torah's perspective, if Truma falls into a vat of chulin, chulin is the term that we use to say non-Truma food. We're going to use that term a lot. So if Truma falls into chulin, usually it's nullified batel berov. As long as there is majority of chulin keneged, the piece of Truma, then it is batel. So that can even be 2-1. If there are two pieces of chulin to one piece of Truma, then it is batel, the Truma is nullified. But, min de rabbanan, they were much stricter. They created the halacha of meduma, which means that you need 100 pieces of chulin next to the one piece of Truma in order to nullify the Truma. If you only have 99, then the entire vat becomes Truma, takes on the status of Truma. That is a halacha midrabanan, but it's a very important one when it comes to Truma. So we said that because, again, each separation, the first separation might not be Truma, and the second one might not be Truma, therefore the halacha of meduma doesn't apply, and instead it would just be batel berov, 2-1 would be enough. So along those lines, our mission is going to explain, nafla achas mehem lesocha chulin, if one of those separations, either the first or the second, falls into a vat of chulin, eina midmata, it doesn't become a dima, meaning it's just regular 2-1 works. You don't have to have that larger 100-1 ratio. Nafla shniyah l'makom acher, if the second separation of Truma falls into a different vat of chulin, ena midmatan. Again, the same halacha, because each one might not be Truma, and therefore you can be lenient, and you don't, the 100-1 rule doesn't kick in. But nafla shtein l'makom echad, if both of those separations fell into one thing of chulin, now you have a bigger problem, because we know that when you're looking at each separation individually, the first one might not be Truma, and the second one might not be Truma, but we know that one of them certainly is Truma. So if they both fell into a vat, now we have a larger problem because one of them certainly was Truma. So then at that point, Meduma would kick in, but says the Mishnah, Midmaton Beketana Shebeshtehen. Meaning when we say, let's say you need 100-1, so we can look at the smaller separation. If the first separation of Truma was one amount and the second separation of Truma was a smaller amount, we can use the smaller amount in order to create this Meduma calculation. So that's a leniency there. We have to have Meduma because one separation certainly was Truma, but we're allowed to be lenient by assuming that the one that was Truma was the smaller one so that the calculation isn't crazy. That is Mishnah Beis, and now on to Mishnah Gimel, and we have a brand new case. Says the Mishnah, Hashutfin Shetarmu Ze'achar Ze'ah. Imagine you have partners in a field, co-owners, and they separate Truma one after another, but unbeknownst to the other one. They didn't know that each other was doing it. So the easiest example, as the Kati points out, is a field of 50 Sa'ah, because we know that the average shear of Truma is 1/50th, so the math is easy. So imagine you have this 50 Sa'ah field, and the first partner separates one sa'ah that covers the whole field for Truma, and then the next partner comes and separates one sa'ah as well that covers the whole field. So Rabbi Akiva Omer, Trumas Shnehem Truma. Both Trumas are considered Truma, which is really wild, really, because we always assume, and we've seen before, that once Truma is separated from a field, so then it's done. Anything separated afterwards, even for the sake of Truma, is not considered Truma, because Truma was already accomplished. You can't separate Truma again. So why does Rabbi Akiva say that both are Truma? So it seems that he holds that because they did not coordinate with one another, they didn't consult and say, hey, I'm going to do it or you're going to do it, because they didn't talk to one another, it shows that they really only ever intended to separate Truma from their own portion. Now, they both own the field together, but each one owns the value of half of the field, of 25 sa'ah. So when the first partner comes and separates one sa'ah, which really should cover the entire field for Truma, it's 1/50th, the fact they didn't coordinate shows that he really only ever intended for that one sa'ah to cover his own portion. If that's true, only half of that one sa'ah is really considered truma, and therefore the other 25 sa'a in the field have not yet been tithed. And therefore when the other one comes by and separates that one sa'a, he really intends for only half of that sa'a again to be truma to cover his field. The point is that because they didn't coordinate, they intended to only separate from their half, that means that the tithe that they did, that truma they did, the amount was enough to cover the field, but they only intended for half of it to really be truma, and therefore there's still a half that needs to be tithed, and therefore each one is considered truma. I hope that's clear. But the Chachamim have the much more intuitive approach. Chachamim omrim truma sarishon truma. No, as we always see, only the first one is considered truma, because we assume that once the person separated truma, and the second, we assume that they didn't not coordinate on purpose. It must have been a mistake. The second one didn't know that the first one did it. The first one didn't know that the second one would do it as well. So therefore, the first one did it. It's chal, meaning it works. It's truma, and the second one's nothing because truma already was accomplished, and therefore only the first one has the status of truma. Now, Rabbi Yossi Omer says Rabbi Yossi, and the Mefarshim point out Rabbi Yossi isn't a separate opinion. It's just explaining and clarifying and really qualifying the opinion of the Chachamim. So Rabbi Yossi says, Im tarim harishon kashir, if the first person separated truma in the full amount, the full sa'ah, then ein truma sasheni truma, then the second one is nothing. Because again, the first one already accomplished truma. And we assume in that case that if the first person separated the entire sa'ah, we assume that the person really did intend to exempt the entire field, and the second one only separated truma because they didn't realize that the first one did. So that's the more intuitive approach. But the im lo tarna rishon kashir. But if the person didn't separate the entire amount, let's say only separated a half a sa instead of the full sa, then truma sasheni truma. Then the second one is also considered truma because the first one didn't separate truma for the entire field. So once you separate only a little bit, then there's still room to separate more truma, and therefore we assume that maybe as Rabbi Akiva said, that each one only intended to separate on their own. That is Mishnah Gimel. We'll continue Mishnah Dalet tomorrow.